I doubt there's anybody here in this room who, after hearing that parable, doesn't say, "What? That does not make sense. It doesn't seem fair. What is going on here?" This idea that a landowner hires people at daybreak, then another group at 9, another group at noon, another group at 3, another group at 5. And interestingly, he pays the 5 o'clock people first. And they receive the exact same as the people who started at daybreak. And I'm sure those who heard that story would also respond, "What?" I want to put this parable in some context. Actually, I have two contexts I want to talk about today. The first is this. Let's look at Matthew a little bit, the author of this gospel. Let me pull back, not just this, looking at this parable, but the whole gospel of Matthew itself. We're not really sure that we know definitely who Matthew is. Many believe he is not one of the disciples, but we're not sure, perhaps, who he is. But many believe he is either a Jewish Christian or perhaps a Gentile Semite. There's different ideas on who he was. But he's writing probably around 80 to 90 or so in the Common Era. And he's writing to a particular community. It's important to know that so much of the scriptures were written in the context of a particular place, something that was happening at that time. And here's what we seem to know about the community of Matthew. He was part of a Christian community. And this is a very important part of Matthew's gospel. And you've heard me mention, you've heard other homilists mention this as well, but just to start this out, the early Christians, remember, were first Jewish. It was the first group. They were from a Jewish background, and they followed their Jewish rituals, their Jewish customs. And early on, they even continued to go to the synagogue and participate in the life of the synagogue. But they were also followers of what our presiding bishop calls the Jesus movement. They began this being part of this movement of followers of Christ, and they lived ever deeply into that as well, while still following their Jewish customs. By the time Matthew is writing this gospel, those Jewish Christians had actually broken away from the synagogue. There was this split. The Jewish folks who followed Christ had split from the synagogue. And that must have been a very traumatic experience for those early followers of Christ who broke away from the synagogue and began this kind of new understanding of what it meant to be a follower of Christ. It's believed that that really was a dominant part of the community in which Matthew was a part of. But by this time, this community is going through some change. Because while so many of these folks have a Jewish heritage and custom and history, there are new folks coming into the Jesus movement, coming into the Christian community, who are not from a Jewish background. And they join the community through baptism. And as mentioned many times, St. Paul is one of the key teachers of that idea that you do not need to be Jewish in order to be Christian. You just need to be baptized, as were these non-Jewish folks known as Gentiles, and the Jewish Christians had been baptized. But there was still some tension. You could picture the Jewish Christians kind of saying, "So wait a minute, so we're going to sit at table together? And I've been raised, I have followed the law of Moses, I have followed the rituals, I have followed the dietary laws, I have followed every single part of the Jewish tradition, and I'm a follower of Christ, and you're telling me these people don't have to do that?" And Matthew is saying, "Let me tell you a story. Let me tell you a story." And that's kind of where this parable comes from. It's believed that Matthew wrote what he wrote to be a lectionary for the gathered community. Remember, when the community had gathered in the early church, there was no New Testament as we know today. There was Mark's gospel. It's believed that Mark's gospel existed, and Matthew had Mark's gospel and some other sources that he was using to put his gospel together. But he was writing it in order for it to be kind of proclaimed within the community as a teaching, preaching, people to come to know who this Christ is. And so that's formed and shaped perhaps how Matthew wrote this gospel. to be proclaimed in the midst of the community as a teaching and a learning for the community as who they were called to be. And so he tells this parable. So there were these workers who started at 6 in the morning. You Jewish Christians. And as the day went on, others began to join. And yes, there are some who have just joined our community, who have expressed this desire to follow Christ and be baptized. And yes, they perhaps just came at 5 o'clock. And yet, we are all together followers of Christ. That God's generosity, God's graciousness, God's mercy, God's goodness is given to all of us together. Do you get that context? That's how this parable, that's what this parable's trying to deal with, trying to address, and challenge folks to be one together. Now, we hear that reading today. And while the gospel was written in a particular context, as this parable might have been told in a particular context, we also live in a context. We live in our world. And so we hear these readings through our lens, through the world we live in. And I'd like to suggest something to you. This idea that Matthew is trying to teach, that our God is a generous, gracious, merciful God, a God who reaches out to us in love. We have a tough time really accepting that, because we are not surrounded or living in a world or a culture that is about graciousness, mercy, abundance. We kind of live in a world that is about merit, about earning, that you earn what you get. And it's tough for us to, in our faith journey, to understand a God who is so gracious and generous. Now, even in our religious tradition, sometimes we think we have to earn God's love. And it's so difficult for us to understand that God's love is just so freely given. So given freely for our lives, to our lives. So it's hard for us to hear that reading. So I think on that level, I don't think this reading is about just labor laws or things like that. You can take it that way. I mean, but if we circle around that, there's a message there for that, and we automatically don't think it's fair. But there's something much deeper to this reading than that alone. We can be those daybreak Jewish Christians in our lives. We are also the 5 o'clock followers of Christ. God's love, God's grace is given to us no matter where we are in this journey. But sometimes we can be those 6 o'clock Christians. Maybe. Do we see that in our world today? Perhaps we look at the neighborhoods in which we live, and there are these new people coming? Do we see it in our faith communities? You know, I've been around 20, 30 years. I don't get what these new people are all about. They're coming in here, you know, and that's not true of St. Paul's, but you know what I'm saying, in terms of Christian, who are these new people coming in? Does it give flavor to the way we see immigration? Does it give flavor to the way we see our racial issues? That idea that we perhaps are the daybreak Jewish Christians. We've been at this a long time. And yet there are these people at 5 o'clock who get just the same thing. Sit with that a bit. Let that marinate a little bit in your heart. Think about that. Maybe you don't agree on that, but I think there's something to this gospel message that can really speak to us at a very, very deep level. And I think it's up. We need to live ever more deeply into this understanding, and this is so difficult to accept, so difficult to accept, that God just loves us. God is generous to us. God blesses us with abundant love. And all we need to do is accept it. And yet we can still so often live in this merit system where I feel I need to earn everything, everything. Earning things is not a bad thing. Don't misunderstand me. But if we understand our lives like that, we have to earn God's love, we'll just never experience it. It's important for us to realize that God doesn't wait to love us until we're good. That God loves us because God is good.